God indeed has done great things. And we're going to look at a Bible story now that reminds us of a great thing that God did back in the Old Testament. As I said earlier, we're looking at the story of Elijah, and this is one of the scenes in Elijah's life. So, I'm not going to use the Bible, as in read from the Bible. We're going to use some images to hopefully tell the story. There once was a prophet called Elijah who got into competition with a king. Ahab said, "Baal is better," but Elijah replied, "Your God is not going to win." "Here's the deal," said the prophet Elijah. "Build an altar. Baal can set it alight. And I'll build an altar just like you. But my God will win this fight." "I'll call my prophets," said Ahab. "They'll know what they must do." 900 prophets of Baal," said Ahab, "against just the one of you." "You go first," said the prophet Elijah. "Make sure your word is stacked nice and high. Put the bull on top and cry out to your God. Baal, let's see how you fly." So Baal's prophets, they prayed and they danced and they sang. They even threw themselves on the ground. They started at breakfast and finished at night, but Baal didn't make a sound. Well, Elijah looked on with a smile on his face. "Where's your God Baal now?" he said. "Is he sleeping, on a break, or just a bit deaf? Or maybe he's simply dead." "It's my turn now," said Elijah. And he looked at his altar stacked high, then threw on buckets of water till it was nice and wet. He didn't want the wood to dry. "Help me, O Lord," said the prophet Elijah. "Burn it all up with your fire. I know you can do it, the God of all things. I know you are not a liar." God sent his fire from heaven above. The bull, it crackled and spat. The wood got burned and the water boiled until the altar became flat. The people all called God their God again. And Elijah sat himself down just for a moment until God said, "You better get yourself out of town." It's a story of a battle between two gods, Baal and the God that we worship. It's a battle between Elijah, a prophet of the God that we worship, and Ahab, who was a very evil king. We're going to talk in a few moments a little bit more about that story, but we're going to sing a song now. Because Ahab was a bit scary. Sometimes we feel afraid. This song reminds us that our God is greater. Simon. Round of applause. I love that song because of the words. But I also love that song because it gives us a chance to breathe in between those crazy verses. And it is really great. It's a song that maybe our children identify with. But you know, it is as much a song that is relevant to all of us at work or at school or in college or in our neighbourhoods. We all sometimes get afraid, don't we? Ahab, I said we were going to talk about this king and this battle that went on. King Ahab was a bad king because he dumped God's ways and he worshipped gods that his wife Jezebel worshipped. Jezebel was a really bad influence on Ahab. As king, Ahab got to tell people what to do. And when he said that all the people in the land should worship the Baal gods, and these were evil gods, the people didn't know what to do. Ahab was a bad influence in his country. Elijah told Ahab that he was wrong to do this. And Elijah tried to be a good influence. Elijah told Ahab that he was worshipping the wrong God. But Ahab didn't like this. He preferred to listen to his wife and what the Baal prophets told him. Ahab calls Elijah a troublemaker because Elijah tells him things he doesn't want to hear. He calls him a bad influence, even though it's Ahab that is causing trouble for Israel. Let's have a think for a moment. Who are the people that have lots of influence over us? At school? At work? In our friendship groups or in our family, in our neighbourhood where we live, or even here at church? Are those people that have an influence over us a good influence or a bad influence? Who are the powerful people around us that we feel we need to keep happy? Or maybe it's not so much people, but a habit or a behaviour or a pastime. Who or what has power over us that pulls us away from God? We're going to spend a few moments thinking about that. I won't come round with a microphone at the end of this discussion, but in your family groups or maybe with the person that is next to you, if you're able, chat about those things that pull you away from God, and then think about how you might be a good influence on others. So two questions there. What pulls you away from God? How can you be a good influence? You can talk about both of those or just one. I'm going to give you 3 minutes or so to do that. Continue to reflect on those questions throughout the week, but I'm going to leave it there. As I say, I'm not going to come round with a microphone. We're just going to go back to that story about Elijah and King Ahab and the God that we worship. When Ahab calls Elijah a troublemaker, Elijah responds by saying, "Let's see whether your gods can outpower mine." And lots of people showed up to see this battle, wouldn't you? Yeah. But they're confused. Do they support Ahab or do they support Elijah? Do they believe in Ahab's gods or do they believe in Elijah's God? Now, many of the crowd were Israelites, and so they should have believed in Elijah's God. And Elijah gets frustrated with them because they're confused and they're scared and they don't know what to do. And he says, "How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is the real God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. Make up your mind." And this is a crucial question for each of us. It's probably the most important question we will ever answer because it shapes the way we live and who we are. Are we going to be influenced by the things that pull us away from God that you've been talking about? Or are we going to trust God and follow God 100% and influence others to do so as well? So our decision today and our challenge today is really the same as Elijah gave those Israelites. If God is the real God, follow him. If it's someone or something else, then follow them. There's nothing worse than sitting on the fence because we get the worst of both worlds. Coming back to the story, no one responds when Elijah challenges them. And maybe that's because King Ahab looked more powerful than Elijah to begin with. He finds all the prophets he can, 850 of them. That's a lot of prophets. You may not know this, you may know this, I love Googling. A collection of prophets is called a school. School of prophets. And if you want to imagine what 850 people look like in school numbers, it's about the same number of students as Woodland Secondary School. That's what 850 prophets look like. Or all the children at Caneshill School, Hightown and Thornhill Primary School, give or take 50 or so, according to the websites. That was an awful lot of prophets versus Elijah. So we're going to do some top trump scores on numbers. Baal prophets, 850. God's prophet, 1. On noise levels, Baal prophets, 850. God's prophet, well, Elijah did pray, so we'll give him 100. Dryness of wood, Baal prophets, 850. There was no water there. God's prophet, 0. It was soaking. The Baal prophets are winning, hands down. But as soon as Elijah prays, God is there. God shows up. And then the scores change. The number of prophets doesn't make a difference. The amount of noise doesn't make a difference. The amount of water on the wood doesn't make a difference. Let's look at the top trump scores now. God response, Baal prophets, 0. God's prophet, 850. Amount of fire, Baal prophet, 0. God's prophet, 850. Influence, Baal prophet, 0. God's prophet, 850, because everybody watching, all those Israelites that were sitting on the fence, turn to God and they worship him. When God shows up, they fall onto God's side. God is greater than Baal, is what this story tells us. When Elijah prays, God shows up. And when we pray, God shows up for us too. God is stronger than all those things that try and pull us away from him. And God wants us to be strong too. God knows the mess that the world is in. That's why Jesus came to earth in human form. And although we still fight evil forces, Jesus is the winner. When Jesus died on the cross for you and me, he won the war. There's a man called Paul who wanted to encourage a church in Rome, and he encourages us when he says, with God on our side like this, how can we lose? He then goes on to say, he even let his own son suffer for us. God gave his son for all of us. Jesus died for us, but that's not all. He was also raised from death, and he's now at God's right hand, speaking to him for us. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Can trouble or problems or persecution separate us from his love if we have no food or clothes or face danger or even death? Will that separate us from his love? In all these troubles, we have complete victory through God, who's shown his love for us. Jesus is talking to God about you all the time, about the things that you're going through. Jesus is on our side. Do you know that God is the greater power, or are you sitting on the fence? My question is, what would, if you're on the fence, what would cause you to know God is the true God? How do you need God to show that he's real today? God, we hold to you being greater than the troubles we face in this world. Lord, as we've shared our heart with you through a simple response at the foot of your cross, remind us that you died for us. Remind us that you overcame all things. Remind us that you are praying for us as we pray to you. And God, would you show up in our lives? Give us ears and eyes and hearts to see answers to the prayers in faith we have shared with you today. Amen.